Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Revelation chapter 13 tells us, "A day is coming when the great dragon, Satan, will be cast out of heaven, and he will stand on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, and out of the sea a beast will come up." Who is this beast? As those who love the Lord Jesus and his coming, the Bible tells us clearly how to know the identity of this beast, the Antichrist. This is our focus all this week on Life Study of the Bible, and joining us for this first and I would say crucial program today is Francis Ball. Francis, welcome to the program and thank you in advance for helping.
Yes, I really am anxious that this word gets out clear for all the lovers of Christ.
We're going to begin today the first of 4 programs covering the beast out of the sea. The 5th one that we'll have at the end of the week will cover the other beast in Daniel 13, and that is the beast that comes out of the land. But at any rate, 4 programs devoted to the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13. I refer to these verses a moment ago in the opening. Let me read a couple of them now. It says, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems, and on his heads names of blasphemy." This is a picture pointing us to this one called the Antichrist. Francis, many people speculate regarding Antichrist, and yet his identity should not be that much of a mystery. We really hope that that's the result of these programs coming. Why spend so much time on this one called the Anti-One?
Well, the reason, Chris, that I feel Brother Lee has spent so much time on this, and the Bible itself has spent so much time exposing this one who is Antichrist. He's known as the Antichrist, and most Christians are acquainted with the fact that there is such a one, but not many are acquainted with how much the Bible has to say about this one and how definite the Word of God is, particularly in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Revelation, but even in 2 Thessalonians, he's identified very clearly there. I believe, Chris, it's very important that Christians who love the Lord Jesus would be aware of what this one is going to be like when he shows up on the scene of the earth. There will be such a one. He will show up, and the time may not be too long.
Francis, as you mentioned, there's a lot of this life study of Revelation devoted to this topic and much in Scripture. Let me say, before we get into it, that the life studies are full of a great deal of detail on this point. Many of these points are detail-oriented. And since that is the case, those kinds of things don't lend themselves very well to this format that we're in on the radio. It's hard to bring out all of the fine details and go into many verses. So we are going to try to present some of the foundational things related to the Antichrist, and our sincere desire is that our listeners will be intrigued and motivated in what we present to contact us to get these written messages, because this should be studied and known by God's people. It's not God's intent that the identity of this one be kept a mystery, is it?
That's right. And I would strongly recommend that everyone would have in their bookshelves these messages regarding the Antichrist.
Okay, as we finished chapter 12, we saw that Satan, the great red dragon, was cast out of heaven, and he comes to the earth. And that's where we join Witness Lee as we look today at the first message on the identity of Antichrist.
Now we come to the beast out of the sea. Chapter 13, verse 1, "And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea." In chapter 12, the dragon was defeated, and he was cast out from heaven to earth. And after he got to earth, I tell you, he started to do something, to stir up something from the sea. The sea here, you have to remember, both here in Daniel chapter 7, the great sea refers to the Mediterranean. The Mediterranean Sea is called the Great Sea in the Bible. The dragon stood on the sand of the sea. It means that Satan, after he was cast to the earth, he stood there on the seashore of the Great Sea Mediterranean to stir up something. And I don't believe the seashore where Satan stood should be on the Holy Land. He stood there to stir up something. By this stirring of Satan, I tell you, Antichrist will come out of the sea. The dragon brought the beast out of the sea. Archangel Michael and his angels have cast out Satan to the earth. Then Satan stood on the seashore at the edge of the Holy Land to bring forth a beast out of the sea, which is the very Antichrist. Probably not many of us have ever realized that Antichrist has been mentioned so much in these two books, Daniel and Revelation. Not only in these two books, and in other books. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians, Antichrist is very much revealed there. So this time, while we will be on chapter 13, I do feel burdened to pick up all the portions, the verses concerning this evil person to show to the saints who will be this Antichrist. One thing more, I will remind you. Nearly nothing in the book of Revelation is absolutely new. No. All the things mentioned in this book of Revelation are the things already covered in the Old Testament. Mostly, all the things were there. Sometimes, in this book of Revelation, all these things will be developed. It is in the same principle Antichrist is revealed, or was, or has been revealed in Daniel, but when Revelation comes, it gives us further development. So, if we are going to know anything in the book of Revelation, we have to trace back to the Old Testament to see whether this very thing has been covered there or not. If it has, we have to go there. Then we see the original revelation and the developed revelation. Now you have the original revelation in Daniel, and you have the further developed in Revelation. Now we must go back to Daniel.
Francis, in one of these life study messages dealing with the beast out of the sea, Witness Lee makes a comment that we are not here waiting for Antichrist. We are waiting for Christ. But as we've already said, the Bible says a lot about this one, Antichrist. Yet many believers engage in all kinds of wild speculation about this coming evil person, who he might be. Was it Hitler? Was it Mussolini? Is it Saddam Hussein? But really, there's no need for his identity to be this mysterious given all that the Lord has provided, is there?
That's right. If we know the Bible, we should know this one. You know, in this connection, I think we need to realize what Brother Lee brought out in a portion of what he just said. That is, we need to follow a principle in the study of the Bible that when something is mentioned first in an earlier part of the Bible, we need to look back at that. So in this case, even the Lord Jesus, when he was talking about this Antichrist, he referred back to Daniel. So it's right for us to look back at the prophecy of Daniel in order to get the picture there as it's first mentioned in the Bible and then later developed and made so clear in Revelation. So I would just suggest to all our listeners that they should look at what's presented, particularly in four chapters of the book of Daniel. For example, in chapter 2, there's a big image called Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Mm-hmm. Many people know about that, but mm-hmm. maybe they never saw it in this light. And then in chapter 7, you have a revelation of the four beasts out of the sea, which we're touching now. And then in chapter 8, there's a ram and a goat fighting against each other. We have to know what this stands for and what this means. So without getting into the details of it, I'd just like to mention those three chapters and chapter 11 together with it, talking about the northern and the southern kingdoms that result after he's typified there. So these are very important portions of the prophecy that are there to help us understand what Revelation is talking about in the further development of that prophecy.
Francis, as we were listening, Witness Lee made the comment that he was burdened to put this matter out for all of God's people to be able to come back to it, look at it, and research it, realizing the mystery, the confusion, and all of the somewhat fanciful notions concerning Antichrist that are prevalent in the Christian community. I believe he felt a commission from the Lord to make this matter clear based on what the Lord had given him. That's why we are burdened also to spend these next five programs on this topic. And as we alluded to earlier, once again, we're going to touch some of these things quickly today. We will be in Daniel 8 a little bit in these coming sections to see more. But these portions in Scripture, if they're properly interpreted, will give us an absolute clear view. So there will not be any mystery and confusion for those who are enlightened.
That's right. That's the reason the Bible is written, to know Christ and expect Him, and also know the Antichrist and be able to identify Him.
Well, some of the general things I think that are known by most people we're going to touch a little bit in this coming section. This coming one will be intellectual, smart, attractive, eloquent, charismatic, and very powerful. Let's join Witness Lee once again.
Antichrist will be very smart. He will have the most intellectual, smart mind. He has the eyes, the insight, the knowledge. And I do believe he will have the political science. He will have the scientific knowledge. He will have the most modern education. He will have the eyes, the insight, the knowledge, the intelligence, marvelously smart. Antichrist will be such a person. Keep this in mind and watching and reading the newspaper. Not too long from today, such a person will rise up. Surely he will be a great speaker, very eloquent, big words, having a mouth speaking great words against the Most High, that means God. Arrogant in utterance and blasphemous to your God. Keep this in mind and wait. Just standing here, he will subdue all of the people by his appearance. Isn't this good? The Bible does not leave us in darkness. The Bible not only reveals Christ to us, but also describes this Antichrist so clearly, making war with the saints, arrogant, blasphemous, and persecuting the saints. He will not be any kind of Christian, false or real, nominal or regenerate. And he will not be a religious person. He will make war with the saints and prevails against them. Not only so, wearing out the saints. What will be the way Antichrist will take to wear out God's people? I cannot tell you, but anyhow, that will be wearing out. Don't wait for that. And pray to escape that. Oh, we have to know him, but I don't like to see him. The more we see someone resembling him, the more we have to pray, Lord, if this one is he, Lord, take me away. Amen. Before he comes into power. Amen. I don't like to see him. I don't like to be under his hand. he will wear out God's people.
Francis, when this one comes, it will be difficult for most people, even the believers, not to be taken in by him, attractive, wise, eloquent, charismatic. Yet on the other hand, we know that Christ has already defeated Satan on the cross. So why is it that important that we, God's elect, be so watchful concerning this one?
Well, Chris, we should not be so simple. God's way of accomplishing his goal deals also with the defeat of his enemy. There is an enemy, Satan himself, and God has a way of dealing with him, and this enemy is personified in Antichrist. And there is a need for us to know this one when he comes, just as there's a need for us to know Christ and to know his salvation, to know his word, to know the Bible. We need to know his enemy. And God has a way of letting the enemy go his full strength before he deals with him. And he deals with him, of course, as you mentioned, he was dealt with by Christ on the cross. That was a judgment, but that was not the full execution.
Francis, in the recent programs we had concerning the rapture, of course, it was pointed out in Thessalonians that those who are alive and remain, referring to God's people, a segment of God's people, will be living on the earth during this time for their sake. Which may be for our sake if the Lord leaves us in such a situation. It is very important that this information regarding the Antichrist be available to God's people.
Very important. If we don't make this truth known, we're not being faithful to God's word.
Well, we're going to go to Daniel now, and chapter 8 specifically. You mentioned in a quick summary a moment ago. In this chapter, Daniel has a vision of a ram with two horns. And this ram was slain by a goat with one prominent horn. After killing the ram, the horn on the goat is broken off, and in its place, four small horns appear. And one of these four grows and grows, eventually reaching to the heavens. Let's join Witness Lee as he helps us with the interpretation of this portion in Daniel 8.
In chapter 8 of Daniel, the revelation is mainly of two things. The ram, R-A-M, and the goat. The ram signifies Persia, and the goat signifies Greece. Out of this goat, four horns, not two horns, but four horns. And history tells us, under Alexander the Great, he had four generals. And after his death, every one of these four generals occupied a territory and made a kingdom to himself. So the ancient empire of Greece, and we can say of Macedonia too, was divided into four kingdoms under the four generals of Alexander the Great. After Alexander's death. Out of these four kingdoms, or out of these four horns, a little horn rises up. Now we have to locate where this little horn rises up. Here it says, this little horn will grow exceedingly great toward what? Toward the south, that means toward Egypt. Toward the east, that means toward Asia Minor or Syria. Then toward the beautiful land, that means toward Judea. And this proves this little horn, Antichrist, will rise up from the source of Greece and Macedonia. I'm pretty sure Antichrist will be a great descendant. But where he will rise up is hard to tell. He was growing great not only toward the southeast, the beautiful land, but also even, look to this, to the host of heaven. He was so proud. Well, to me, it is quite meaningful that human beings got a way to land at the moon. This may prepare the way for the Antichrist to do something to the host of heaven. You know, the host of heaven means what? the stars, the planets. And Antichrist will be so arrogant, so great, so proud, even to touch the host of heaven. By what way? Before the landing of the moon, there was no way. But from now, there is some way for human beings to touch, if not all the host, at least some of the host. You just wait to see.
Francis, there's a lot in this matter we could touch. I wanted to ask you about the goat in Daniel 8. This one is generally acknowledged by Bible scholars as referring to Alexander the Great, and he spread the Greek Empire in an unprecedented way. Then, following his death, his kingdom was divided among his four most powerful generals. This is historically correct, and it's also the Bible, as we see in Daniel. It seems clearly here that the four generals replaced this one, and out of these four comes the Antichrist. In Witness Lee's interpretation, this was strong evidence that the Antichrist would have his origin ultimately through Alexander the Great and the broad Greek Empire.
Well, we have to admit that this is historically the fact, that there was such a person as Alexander the Great, and he is pictured here, and he's prophesied here. So we can't ignore this fact, and yet we don't want to be too dogmatic about the future, but we certainly see the type here. And this one whom Alexander the Great typified, that is the Antichrist, actually comes out of that same area of the world, and no doubt will have a source in the same areas that were touched by those four generals under Alexander the Great, and out of one of those, this Antichrist arises. And it said that he grew great exceedingly to the south, which he marked out as Egypt, and then also toward the east, which is Asia Minor, and then the beautiful land, which is Judea. The conclusion is that the Antichrist very likely has his origin somewhere around Greece or Macedonia.
How about this point that he made at the end about touching the heavens and even demonstrating supremacy over the stars and the items in the heavens?
I think we don't have much idea in our natural concept such a person could exist on the earth. This is going to be a very deceiving man because he's going to be so eloquent and so great and so smart and so scientifically up to date that he's going to exalt himself even to the heavens, that he'll be able to do something to the heavenly bodies, the stars, the planets, maybe even to, as it says, bring them down and trample on them. In other words, this one, this beast that's called the Antichrist now, is someone we need to be acquainted with as to what to expect from him. And just trust the Lord that we'll be taken away before he appears.
Amen. That is our hope. And also the Lord's promise if we are faithful. Thank you, Francis, for being with us today, and we'll invite you back soon as we continue on this life study of Revelation. We've had a start today to understanding and seeing the beast out of the sea. We'll come back with our second program in this series, and we hope that you'll join us then. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening.